Okay, so we're diving into the story of Abram and Sarai. It's a pretty well-known one, right?
Yeah, definitely a classic.
God promises them a family, tons of descendants, the whole deal. But there's a problem. Sarai can't have children.
Right, and that sets up the whole drama.
Exactly. And so she gets impatient, you know?
Like, understandably so.
Totally. And she tells Abram, hey, why don't you have a child with Hagar, my maidservant?
Which seems like a pretty common solution back then, at least.
Yeah, but it's like opening Pandora's box. It leads to all sorts of jealousy, power struggles, and some pretty tough consequences for everyone involved.
It's amazing, though, how this story from like way back when still resonates with us today.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
mean, we all face that same impatience
Well, for
sometimes,
sure.
that urge to like force things to happen instead of letting them unfold naturally.
Yeah, whether it's wanting that promotion in a W or like rushing into a relationship or even just, I don't know, getting through that crazy long line at the grocery store.
Totally. And that's what's so powerful about this story, right? It's not just some ancient history lesson. It's like a mirror reflecting back this very human struggle.
It is. Sarai's impatience, it's not like some ancient flaw. It's something we still wrestle with all the time.
Oh, big time. Like, constantly.
And not just personally, but you see it play out in society too.
Absolutely. Like, this whole focus on instant gratification, the need to, like, speed up every aspect of
I mean,
life.
it makes you think, like, are all these life hacks and shortcuts really worth it in the long run?
Right. You gotta wonder, sometimes trying to force things just backfires spectacularly, just like it did for Sarai.
Exactly. She thought using Hagar as a surrogate was the solution, but man, it created way more problems than it solved.
For sure. This story is like a reminder that our decisions have consequences.
Ripple effects.
Exactly. What might seem like a quick fix today could have unintended consequences that unfold over time.
Big time. It's like sending that impulsive email or text message without thinking, maybe I should sleep on this first.
Oh, tell me about it. Sometimes a little patience can prevent a whole lot of future drama.
So true. So crucial. And this isn't just about individual choices, right? We see these same patterns play out on a much larger
Oh,
scale.
for sure. Like, think about companies cutting corners to boost short-term profits, even if it harms the environment or their workers.
Or governments passing policies without really considering the long-term consequences for society.
Yeah, totally. It's like this ancient story is giving us a framework for understanding these patterns. It's pushing us to ask some really tough questions about the choices we make individually and as a society.
Yeah. But there's another side to this story that we can't ignore. Hagar's experience. Here's someone who is basically caught in the middle of all this.
Right, she has very little power in this situation.
Yeah. Her story is so powerful, and honestly, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
But there's this incredible moment, even in the midst of all that vulnerability,
Right, it's like a turning point.
when she encounters God in the wilderness. It's like this theme that runs through so much of the Bible. God's care for those who are marginalized, the overlooked, the ones who feel like they don't have a voice.
Absolutely. And it's not just about acknowledging that they exist.
Right. It's about seeing their value, their potential. God doesn't just comfort Hagar, he promises her a future, a whole legacy.
Such a powerful message. And it's not just for back then, it's for us too.
Yeah, it's a challenge to all of us to look beyond the surface, to see the people who are often hidden in the shadows, and recognize that they have inherent worth.
It's like a call to action, right? To
Yeah.
be more than just bystanders.
So, how do we translate that ancient wisdom into action in our modern world? It's easy to say, oh, we should care for the marginalized, but what does that actually look like?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? It's not enough to just talk about it. We need to actually do something to change the systems that keep people marginalized.
So it's not just about being charitable, but about fixing the root causes of injustice.
Exactly. Hagar's story isn't just some nice story about God helping someone. It's a challenge to look at how power works in our society.
Who are the Hagars of today?
Right. Who are the people being ignored or taken advantage of or not given opportunities just because of their circumstances or their background?
That's such a good way to think about it. It makes
Because
me think about things like economic inequality or racial injustice or how migrant workers are treated.
and those aren't just abstract problems, they're real people facing real struggles.
Yeah. And if we really want to take this story seriously, we need to move beyond just feeling sorry for people and actually start speaking up for them.
It's about challenging unfair policies and making sure marginalized voices are heard and creating a world that's more just and fair for everyone.
So in a way, Hagar's story is like a guide for social action. It's not just about being personally good, but about taking collective responsibility.
Exactly. But there's another important part of this story that we can't forget about, and that's the reality of conflict. The story tells us that Ishmael Hagar's son will live in conflict with others.
I was just thinking about that. It's like the story is saying that conflict is unavoidable. Is that too negative?
It's not about liking conflict, but about recognizing that it's a part of life. From little disagreements between people to wars between countries, we see it happening all the time. The question isn't whether conflict will happen, but how we deal with it.
Are you saying that this ancient story can help us figure out how to resolve conflicts today?
Definitely. Think about what happens when we don't deal with conflict, when anger and resentment build up and people stop communicating. We see this in families and communities and even between countries.
It's like they say holding on to anger is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It just hurts us in the end.
That's a great way to put it. Ishmael's story, even though it has challenges, reminds us about being resilient. He faced hardship and opposition, but he still went on to father a great nation. It shows how people can overcome tough times and find purpose, even when things are difficult.
So it's not about avoiding conflict completely, but about learning how to handle it in a healthy way.
Right. It's about learning how to communicate clearly and set boundaries and try to understand each other, even when it's hard.
This is making me think about all the times I've let conflicts drag on, whether it's with family or friends or coworkers. Instead of talking about the problem directly, I've let it build up, which just makes things worse.
That happens to all of us. But imagine if we could approach conflict differently, not as something scary or something to avoid, but as a chance to learn and grow. What if instead of getting defensive or angry, we could learn to have real conversations, listen to each other with empathy, and try to find common ground even when we disagree?
That would be amazing. But honestly, it sounds really hard. It takes a lot of maturity and self-awareness to handle conflict that way.
It does. But the good news is those are skills we can develop. It starts with knowing what triggers us, understanding how we communicate, and learning to control our emotions when things get tough.
So it's not about never having conflict, but about becoming good at handling it.
Exactly. It's about giving ourselves the tools and the mindset to deal with those disagreements in a way that minimizes hurt and gives us the best chance to grow and understand each other.
There's so much wisdom in this old story. I'm starting to see how it applies not just to our personal lives, but to the bigger problems we face in the world today.
And there's one last piece of this story that I find really encouraging and hopeful. It speaks to something that a lot of people connect with, no matter their religious beliefs. We'll talk about that as we finish up our deep dive.
So you're saying there's this hopeful part of the story. What is it?
Well, even though Abram and Sarai trying to force things to happen to make things work on their own timeline, God still kept his promise.
Wow.
They messed up, they had doubts, and they tried to take control, but in the end, they still got the blessing they were waiting for.
That's amazing. It's like saying even when we screw up, when we try to control things that are really out of our control, there's still grace.
Exactly. There's still a way forward. That's what this story is all about. It's about grace and forgiveness. It reminds us that just because we make mistakes doesn't mean we can't experience good things or achieve our goals. It's like the opposite of that whole perfection culture thing that's everywhere these days.
It's so easy to feel like we have to be perfect to deserve love or success or happiness. But this story says something different. It says it's okay to be flawed, to make mistakes, to even have moments of doubt, and we can still find redemption and growth and in the end, fulfillment.
It's a really freeing message. It challenges us to let go of needing to control everything, to accept our imperfections, and to trust that there's a bigger plan, even if we can't see it right now. It's about being humble and surrendering, recognizing that sometimes the most powerful growth happens when we let go of trying to control the outcome and let ourselves be guided by something bigger than ourselves.
This has been such a deep dive into this ancient text. It's amazing how these themes still resonate so strongly with our lives today.
I agree. It shows how powerful these stories are. They can help us understand what it means to be human and give us guidance for dealing with life's complexities, whether it's back then or right now.
As we wrap up, is there a particular thought or question that you'd like our listeners to take away from this deep dive?
I would encourage everyone to think about the areas in their own lives where they might be feeling impatient or tempted to take shortcuts or struggling to trust the way things are unfolding. What would it look like to embrace the wisdom of waiting, of thinking about the long-term consequences of your choices, and of surrendering to the mystery of a journey that might not always go according to plan? And how can you extend that same grace and understanding to other people who are on their own unique paths?
Those are great questions to think about. And I would add, as you go through your week, consider how you might see and support the Hagars in your own life. How can you stand up for those who are marginalized or overlooked or facing challenges that seem impossible? Even small acts of kindness, compassion, and advocacy can have a huge impact.
That's a wonderful thought. This story reminds us that we're all connected. Our choices affect more than just ourselves. May we all strive to live with more purpose, compassion, and a deep sense of responsibility for each other and for the world we share.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you'll tune in next time for another insightful exploration of ancient wisdom and how it applies to modern life.